sometimes I just let things play out, and I try to wait and see the way the lay of the land is tilting, and I've got some thoughts on this, because we already know I can swim from Alcatraz back to San Francisco. The question is, could myself, Stocker, Phil Almquist, throw Zioli and Dom, could the five of us beat up a gorilla? We're going to talk about that later today.
By the way, breaking news at 6:06.
Uh-oh.
I have my bike. My bike
How do we bury the lead here for 6 minutes?
Awesome.
It is back in my possession. Road Warrior did a great job with it. And I will start training as of today. Well, maybe not today. Maybe Thursday.
Okay.
Maybe not Thursday. Maybe Friday. Friday's definitely the day.
You have a bike before I do.
Yes.
It's outrageous. Yeah. Where's Wayne Bonfiglio at? Let's go. I need those wheels. Come on, Wayne.
Why is it up to Wayne to get you a bike?
Because he's been the... That's the Wayne's world. That's the lucky charm. That's what I've ridden. I knew it was one of those,
too. You knew you would get it wrong, too.
I know. See, you're in my head now. That's the bike I've used. I'm going to keep up the streak. I don't want to change up the good flow.
That's your lucky bike.
That's right.
And it's up to Wayne to get it to
you. Yes, fits my keister perfectly.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Comfortable.
What about your lucky bike shorts?
Yeah.
You know, those bike shorts probably won't fit right now. No. I might have to upgrade, as Beyonce once said. Let me upgrade. All right, anywho, let's get down to business. 6:08, round number one of the news, the great Dawn Stensland.
Good morning, Kale & Company News Live this Wednesday morning. It is May the 7th, and we are sponsored by Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon. Let's get to some local news for you and some local news updates. So I'll begin with a tragedy here. This is a 10-year-old boy fatally shot inside a home. This is Washington Township in New Jersey yesterday afternoon. The shooting happened at a home. This is according to police and the police report. 400 block of Westminster Boulevard yesterday after school. According to authorities, police say the officers responded to the home, found this 10-year-old child with a gunshot wound to the head. He was pronounced dead. So despite those efforts to save his life, emergency medical personnel called to the scene. They could not save his life. Law enforcement sources saying this appears to be an accidental shooting. They're not giving out a lot of details here. The 10-year-old was a student we know at Birches Elementary School, that from police. So initially, Birches Elementary School was placed on lockdown because apparently this happened right as school, this happened at 2:30 in the afternoon. So there were still after school events going on. The school placed on lockdown, and then the students and staff at Birches, according to authorities, were never in any danger. That according to a letter that was released by the school police department and the Washington Township Public Schools responding, and they'll offer counseling services this morning as children come back to school. And they say they'll provide more information once it becomes available. They're not releasing names. They're not releasing details about how this child got this firearm, the circumstances surrounding it. But it does not sound, from all accounts from police, that this was murder or an intentional type shooting. But nonetheless, a tragedy. And just this week, we've talked about, you know, a toddler that was shot in Philadelphia, a 5-year-old that was shot. So children and guns in the headlines this morning.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's more infuriating, the intentional taking of a life and the devaluing of life, or the accidental taking of a life due to lack of just gun safety and, you know, keeping your firearm where it's supposed to be and being a dialed in parent, right?
Yeah.
Or lack thereof, obviously, in some of these cases.
Yeah, it's so, in other words, they're investigating. They're tight-lipped about this. And to your point, Nick, this 10-year-old, even though this may have been an accident, will there be charges against those responsible for the firearm?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a separate question. So we'll follow that one, obviously, this morning. A woman who was injured, this is a follow-up from that plane crash in Northeast Philadelphia. If you remember this, of course, it happened in January, horrific Northeast Philadelphia plane crash. We talked about it locally, but then it made national news. We now have learned that she has become the 8th victim of that deadly crash. So Dominique Goods-Burke, she has been fighting for her life in the hospital since that tragic crash. She spent 3 months in the hospital for her injuries and related health concerns, according to family. And Ms. Goodsberg was on an outing, we're told, to Macy's with her family at the nearby mall, Roosevelt Mall, right there when that crash occurred, the plane crash occurred. She was in the car with her family, that vehicle, the family vehicle, catching fire from the impact and the blast of the plane that crashed right there. Just a horrific situation. She's described by her family as a devoted mother to three children and to her partner. And she worked at High Point Cafe. So the cafe also posting on social media tributes to her life, saying Dominique was a fighter until the end. We will miss her kind smile, beautiful spirit, and heart full of love.
Yeah, I'll never forget the images of that on social media. That happened on a Friday night. I remember that in January. Good cold, God. Miserable Friday night. I look at my Twitter feed and kaboom, all of a sudden, you know, it's chaos. The visuals are just awful.
So that's one follow-up to it, a tragic follow-up, albeit. Now, do you want the update here in news as far as the woman described as the Delco pooper? Do you want that later?
Just headline it. I'm gonna do that towards the end of the hour in that little 5 minute window before we get to round two of the news.
So I'll describe it like this: she's a Pennsylvania woman dubbed the Delco pooper by Delaware County residents in particular, as well as social media users. She was allegedly involved in a road rage incident that certainly captivated social media last week. We talked a lot about it. There was video that had surfaced. It was making national news as it was a dispute that she allegedly settled by soiling the vehicle of a fellow, you know,
soiling.
Victim,
yeah.
Soiling a vehicle of the victim of the road rage situation. Well, now there's an update
because,
on this,
you know,
woman.
Sometimes the S hits the fan, although in this case, the S hit the hood.
Yeah.
S hit the hood. I like that. Oh, my goodness. So we will elaborate moving forward. We got to get to that one. We also have a story of, let's take you to the Cape May County. Sad news there. Mourning the death of a beloved 20-year-old American black bear at the zoo. A bear named Cody was euthanized due to declining health. So the bear was suffering. I don't know if the bear had cancer, what was going on, but very sad news. I love the Cape May County Zoo. I don't know if you guys have been in a while, but this bear certainly was one of the big attractions. And so zookeepers remember high fives with the bear, just a sweetheart. So it's sad as those images of the bear, Cody, go viral.
You know, it's frustrating about being a father or a man. And maybe I'm in the minority here. If I'm old man, get off my lawn. Call me out. It's justifiable. It's justified. I hate going to the zoo.
What?
Every time my wife wants to go to a zoo, right? Whether it's the Philadelphia Zoo or what's the big one in New York? What's the name of it?
The Bronx Zoo.
The Bronx Zoo. We've gone to both of them. It's always in the dead heat of summer. And it's
go in the spring.
I know. That's what they would make it more tolerable.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not
interested. Elmwood Zoo?
Elmwood Zoo is great.
That's awesome.
For little kids.
Yeah, your kids, you know, they want to see all the different animals. I got it. But the smells, the sights, the sounds. Sometimes I even wonder if the people are worse than the animals we're looking at. Just wretched individuals. There are kids running around screaming for a lemonade. And, of course, you got the dad. You know, he's got the pouch and the fanny pack. It's a whole mess. You know, put the sunblock on. You have no relief. There's no shade. It's like being in the concrete jungle.
Wear a hat.
Yeah. My Lord.
Oh, oof. The zoo.
The zoo take.
Come on, men. You know the whole zoo thing. You do it once, and then it's like...
You know me. You know I hate everything. I hate going out. I hate people. But I will say, going to the zoo with my little kid is fun.
Yeah, you don't take a day trip with the boys to go to the zoo.
No. Yeah. I haven't been to the zoo. You know, I've been to the Elmwood Zoo like a billion times now because I have a 4-year-old. But I haven't been to the zoo before that in, you know, 30 years.
Okay. All
right. So...
We have to watch this morning for white smoke or black smoke.
Why is it got to be about race all the time? Can we stop?
The conclave begins today, first vote.
Uh-huh.
So they're meeting the Vatican's Santa Marta guest house,
mm-hmm.
has 128 rooms. And today they're all gathered. They're basically sequestered. All the cardinals participating in the conclave to elect the next pope. One room in the guest house is still sealed with a red ribbon, as it has been since its occupant died there Easter Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And so now at this point, they have the first vote today. If we see the white smoke, that means they've chosen a new pope. But the black smoke means get back to work, another vote.
Oh.
Can we do this like a Survivor? You know what I mean? Like where we put all of them, like we put all the cardinals or whatever in on an island and let them like do challenges.
Sure.
To see who becomes the next pope. Feels, now that would be a reality show I would like. I would watch.
Feels like Groundhog's Day when Punxsutawney Phil comes out. If he sees his shadow, you know, six more weeks of. I was listening to the Fox News rundown. They were saying they're looking for a very fiscally responsible and well-off financially pope because they've got a lot of financial issues going on.
Shocking.
Might be time for, I don't know, the conclave to bring in their own doge, trim some fat.
You mean the Vatican where they put up a bunch of walls but tell everybody else we don't need walls?
Well said. Are you ready for a new name as the new home of the Flyers and Sixers? Xfinity Mobile Arena.
I saw you send this yesterday to us. It looks nice.
Is there anything that's not named Xfinity, you know, right now?
I know. They own the whole city.
Well, and it's maybe it's an homage to X and Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Yeah, I doubt it.
I mean, Xfinity is just in control of everything. If Bernie Sanders finds out about this.
Oligarchy.
Yeah.
So in my... I'm trying to think here. It started out as the Core States Center,
Well, originally it was just the Spectrum. But one
the
new one, yes.
The new one was the Core States Center.
Core States.
Then now it's Wells Fargo,
First Union. First Union.
FU. I love that Center. One.
Then Wells Fargo. And
that's correct.
So since when was it built? When did it, 99, 98?
Yeah, late 90s.
So
right around the beginning of the Iverson era,
27 years ish, 28 years ish, we're doing 97, I think it was.
Yeah, because that's when Comcast Sportsnet launched.
Yeah,
every building down there is financially backed. Lincoln Financial.
You guys were missing one.
Citizens Bank.
Which one?
Core State Center, 96 to 98.
Okay.
First Union Center, 98 to 2003. Wachovia Center.
Oh, the Walk. The Wachovia, yes.
How could we forget?
Oh, man.
2003 to 2010.
How many times is that bank going to change names?
Yeah. The Wachovia Center, then Wells Fargo.
Then Wells Fargo.
And now Xfinity.
Xfinity.
That's good South Philadelphia banking knowledge.
Yeah.
News you cannot use, maybe in a trivia.
Yep. Ipso facto says it was the first Union Center when Metallica had their free concert outside. That's right, the Million Decibel March, 1997. I think it was November of 1997 they had an outdoor concert, and there were like 60,000 people there because it was free.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Kenny at the time was just like all up in arms about it.
Oh, he was.
I knew he was a jagoff then.
I think Phil was actually at that concert.
All
the Phil timers out there.
Yeah.
Just a reminder, Real ID is now required for air travel in America.
Yeah, but they still accept passports now, right?
They still accept. And Christy Noem came out and gave all this information that you still can fly. But if you have a valid passport, bring that. And this morning, our sister station, I had heard them report they have a reporter live there. So what they're doing is, if you have a Real ID, you're in a fast track line. But if you don't have it, you're put in a different line this morning.
I have to tell you guys, there's a DMV by my house, and every day I go by there, there's a line wrapped around the building.
I just received my Real ID 2 days ago on Monday in the mail.
Good job.
Yeah.
Wow.
$69 I had to pay online for it.
Look at you.
My wife did it all. I just know that came in the mail. It was sitting there.
Yeah.
I opened it up. Looks identical to your regular license, other than there's a little star up in the top right corner.
The only nice thing, and to Greg's point about the long lines, is that we have the mandatory. So when you apply for a new ID, it actually coincides with voter registration. that actually helped Republican registrations.
Hey.
I don't know if you knew that or not.
Well, there you go.
So it upped the registrations.
Good.
By the way, back to the conclave, the Pope thing. Richard Notaro says, "How can a Catholic cardinal be fiscally responsible and well off? Priests take a vow of poverty, among others."
I don't know.
This is true.
You have to talk to the Fox News Rundown people.
See,
have you seen the Vatican? I mean, it looks like the White House.
Oh no, the White House pales in comparison to the Vatican.
You're right. Yeah. You're right.
With all the the world's riches.
The White House is kind of a dump, actually, if you really think about it.
Well,
seriously.
Well, recently Trump,
he made it all gold.
Like Mar-a-Lago.
He made it tacky. Shocking, I know.
Or some may say more beautiful.
More tacky.
Well, we have good news for our Phillies. Kyle Schwarber, Alec Bohm, Nick Castellanos, all homered. Zach Wheeler pitching 7 solid innings. Our Phillies beating the Tampa Bay Rays 8-4 last night.
Okay.
So that's some good news for you.
Good.
Got that going on.
All right.
We also did have we know that investigators from the National Weather Service will be out in Northampton County because they have confirmed that it was indeed a tornado that touched down in Northampton County in the Allentown area. So watching that one very carefully, as far as I don't have word of
when?
The damage. Yesterday.
Really?
Last night.
How about that?
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably
Did you guys get rain?
Oh yeah.
Last night?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I don't think I received. I mean, I didn't see any. I came out this morning. Everything was dry.
This one was, and they have video of it. The twister was near Route actually 191 south of. It was actually south of Bangor, and the strength of the tornado.
That's where my parents live.
Your parents okay? You want to text mom and dad? And just check in.
Mom's up at mom's staying with us.
Oh, okay.
So they're going to determine the strength and the path, all that. The storm damage assessments, that's why they're out early this morning.
Yeah.
But there was video of it in Northampton County, Pennsylvania.
Yep.
So we got that going on. Hey, Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon, the secret to spoiling the moms in your life this spring. Remember, Mother's Day coming up this Sunday. Now with 3 locations, Glen Mills, Springfield, Center City at the Lowe's Hotel. Visit in person or online, josephanthony.com. Gift cards are available, josephanthony.com. Thank you for sponsoring our 6 a.m. news, Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, also Philly weather. It's going up to 61 degrees. It's 61 degrees right now. It's going up to 75 today with clear skies. Although Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday are looking good as well. Friday, we're going to dip back into the 60s with an 80% chance of showers. But for the most part, for the next 4 or 5 days, pretty good weather ahead. And is brought to you by MT Rule. You can check them out today at mtrule.com. They are your Generac generator experts. That's MTRUHL.com. And thank you to MT Rule for sponsoring Kale & Company News Live. Weather here for round number one on a Wednesday morning. We'll come back and get to a Wednesday big take on the other side of Kale & Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is the Kale & Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Time for a Wednesday morning big take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
Brought to you by Staples. The Big Take. Are you tough enough? In 1986, the fabulous Thunderbirds released a single called Tough Enough. In 2016, 30 years later, Donald Trump rolled out the campaign slogan, Make America Great Again. And if you want to achieve that goal, you have to ask yourself the question, are you tough enough? Donald Trump was not elected to be nice. He was elected again to get results for the United States of America. Feelings be damned. And if you want to be great, you have to be tough mentally, physically, psychologically. And to achieve this goal, you need law enforcement to be able to do their job as they police society, enforce the law, apprehend and arrest the criminals, and lock them up. That is, domestically. Here and abroad, you need to have a strong, fully stocked, well-equipped military. And that is every single branch, all the branches. And I believe we're on our way back to restoring America's toughness through common sense, which is a mandate from you, the American people. A major ruling from the Supreme Court coming down yesterday as SCOTUS sided with the Trump administration in lifting a lower court order that paused the Pentagon's transgender military ban from taking effect, allowing Trump's order and policies to proceed. The high court ruled in favor of Trump 6-3. The three justices who would have denied the administration's appeal and kept the lower court injunction in place would be, you guessed it, Sonia Sotomayor, Elena Kagan, and Ketanji Brown Jackson, who can't even define what a female is. She was the Biden administration appointee. It's real simple. You can either cut it and hack it, or you can't. In the military, in law enforcement, there's a bar that is set. You either meet it or you beat it. That's my motto in a world that should be based on merit. And I've defended Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth on his nomination process when he was attacked from all angles with his personal life. I've criticized Pete Hegseth for his mistakes, his poor judgment with the Signal app chat that was botched with Jeffrey Goldberg from The Atlantic, and of course, Mike Waltz. So I've been very fair and objective with this guy. But I absolutely love what he had to say yesterday about making the armed forces great again and getting back to basics. Listen and watch this.
But then the president, after he said that, went on to say, I need you and I want you to restore the warrior ethos in our military, full stop. And that's been my first priority since day one, is restoring the warrior ethos. It's one of the most fundamental of those three objectives. Again, humans more important than hardware. Everything starts and ends with warriors, from training to the battlefield. We are leaving wokeness and weakness behind. No more pronouns, no more climate change obsession, no more emergency vaccine mandates, no more dudes in dresses. We're done with that. We're focused on lethality, meritocracy, accountability, standards, and readiness. That's why since Election Day, since President Trump was elected, recruitment and retention numbers are up historically. Attracting military service is something Americans have long been attracted to, but more so when they see leadership they want to follow. They want to be in disciplined formations that value them, not for immutable differences, not for the color of our skin or gender, but because of honor and integrity and grit and patriotism. They want a meritocracy where they can work hard, make themselves better, kick ass, and rise up.
The warrior ethos, not the woke ethos. You think Russia cares about pronouns? Do you think China gives a damn about equity? Do you think Iran cares about climate change in the heat of battle? You think any nation with aspirations of power and dominance, with a vision, a glimmer of hope, a wish and a prayer of dethroning America, gives a rip about any of the stuff that wokeness has fostered, that Pete Hegseth has been tasked with rooting out? No, sir. So how is the military doing? We know in 2022 and 2023, the military failed to meet its recruiting goals in every branch except for the Marines. Now, in 2024, to be fair, even during Biden's last year, things started to get better. But in 2025, we are off to a roaring start. ABC News published this story on March 18th with the headline, Military officials say recruiting off to strong start in 2025, building on recent trends. Early year gains reflect a confluence of factors as Trump claims a turnaround. ABC writes, quote, we've seen momentum unlike anything we've had in a decade, said General James Mingus, the Army's vice chief of staff, at a congressional hearing on Wednesday, March 12th, when he disclosed that 5 months into its recruiting year, the Army had already signed up close to 73% of the year's annual goal of 61,000 recruits. Fast forward a month later, military.com with this headline, just recently on April 21st, Army seeing major recruiting momentum in 2025 after hitting a goal last year. They write, as of last week, the Army had enlisted 51,837 recruits, or 85% of its 61,000 target for fiscal 2025. And when it comes to trimming the fat, DOGE, they spare nobody, even the Pentagon, as Pete Hegseth has ordered the Pentagon to cut the number of senior generals by 20%. As of 2023, there were 37 four-star generals and admirals across the entire military, according to CNN. The memo also directs the Pentagon to cut the number of general officers in the National Guard by 20%, as well as a 10% reduction of the 900 general and flag officers across the military. On Donald Trump's 2024 campaign website, he posted his 20 core promises. Number 12 was strengthen and modernize our military, making it, without question, the strongest and most powerful in the world. I believe you can argue he's doing just that. From the military to law enforcement we go. Number 10 on Trump's core promises website was stop the migrant crime epidemic, demolish the foreign drug cartels, crush gang violence, and lock up violent offenders. Lots of noise lately around Alcatraz, super prisons in America, in hopes of deterring crime and throwing away society's scum. And the American people, in less than 4 months, they already feel safer. Here is CNN's Harry Enten with the law and order theme that Donald Trump has sold to Americans that clearly they are buying. Listen and watch this.
It speaks to one of Trump's best issues, right? The idea of Alcatraz. You think law and order. You think Donald Trump. I mean, look here. All right. Net approval rating handling crime. What do we have here? We have a positive rating for Donald Trump, even in the most recent polling. Look at that. At plus 2 points. Far better than Joe Biden, who was so far underwater. My goodness. He was setting records at minus 26 points. You rarely ever see it. So Donald Trump ran in part on law and order. It was one of the reasons that he got elected. And at this particular point, Americans like what they're hearing from him on the issue of crime. And you see this right here with a plus 2 net approval rating. Far better than Joe Biden left office with back in 2024.
How does this then compare to how people viewed it in the first term?
Yeah, so this is another interesting thing, right? We compared Donald Trump's first term to now his second term. And what do we see here? We see that Donald Trump's net approval rating on handling crime is far better now at plus 2 points, the view of term number two, than we go back to a retrospective approval rating back in March of 2024, in which he was underwater at minus 13 points. So he's doing 15 points better in terms of how people are viewing his handling of crime now than he was doing back in March of 2024. So when you hear Donald Trump talking about stuff like Alcatraz, yes, I know it's late night fodder for a lot of different folks, but what it actually speaks to is Donald Trump focusing the American people's attention on an issue in which they actually do like what he's doing. And you see it here with a net positive approval rating of plus 2 points, which, again, is 15 points higher than what we saw for Donald Trump in term numero uno.
What about just how worried people are actually about crime, about this exact issue?
Yeah, exactly right, Kate. So, you know, we think about crime and we say, okay, it's one thing how they're viewing Trump, but are their views of overall crime changing as Donald Trump gets into the White House? And what do we see here? Well, the percentage of Americans who worry a great deal about crime, we actually have seen that percentage drop over the last year. It was 53% last year. And look at where we are now. We're at 47%. It's the first time in about 5 years in which the percentage of Americans who worry a great deal about crime has actually dropped under the 50%. Mark. And more than that, it's a rare issue that we've seen from 2024 to 2025 in which the percentage of Americans who worry a great deal about a particular issue has actually dropped by 5 points or more. In fact, it's one of only two issues in which we saw a 5-point decline among both Democrats and Republicans. So I think Donald Trump is going to continue on this law and order issue because the bottom line is it is working for him, Kate.
Many would say that Donald Trump is the F around and find out president, but the president can only do so much. It comes down to police departments locally, giving back their power from the defund the police stigma, the stripping of dignity, morale, and authority. It also comes down to mayors saying they won't tolerate lawlessness. It also comes down to electing district attorneys, Larry Krasner, with a passion for prosecuting criminals and seeking justice for the victims. The days of feelings are over. It's back to kicking ass in America. The only question is, are you tough enough to handle the truth? And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Brought to you by Staples. Your local Staples has hot deals and super low prices throughout the store on everything for your business. And right now at Staples, you can save up to $250 off of a print order. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for details. Ends on June 14th. Plus, save even more with the Easy Rewards program at Staples. We'll come back, get everybody's thoughts, get Dawn's thoughts on both the military front with the SCOTUS ruling as far as transgender members in the military and also law and order here in America. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in on X at 1210 WPHT, and of course in the YouTube chat. Kale and Company, be right back.
It's Kale and Company on demand from from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
So let me get your thoughts, Dawn. Yesterday, and this is a perfect day, I thought, for the big take with the military, because today is our veteran spotlight where we honor one of our heroes. Your thoughts on what Trump and Pete Hegseth, as well as others, are starting to do again with the military, and then also on the law and order front with crime and police?
Well, I think, so what's significant about the case in SCOTUS, the ruling yesterday in favor of the Trump administration, the Lambda Legal and Human Rights Campaign, they're saying this is devastating and discriminatory, but it certainly is an indication as this goes through that it looks like they will lose this, because it's still proceeding as far as the arguments, but it does not look good for them and their argument. I just thought it was interesting within the whole thing that they're not explicitly banning, just saying, hey, we're banning all transgender service members. That's not what they did. The Defense Department listed gender dysphoria as the marked incongruence between a person's experienced gender and their gender assigned at birth. In other words, they put it on a list of medical conditions that disqualify people from military service.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought it was an interesting way that they dealt with this. They're saying, we're not banning all transgender individuals. Some people are physically born a certain way. What they're identifying is that psychological type of, and it was ruled as a mental illness, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they put in the Defense Department issues as what would, much like if you have type 1 diabetes.
Right.
So in other words, they list certain things that they say, these certain things unfortunately disqualify you.
And, you know, for me, I separate being, you know, on the front lines, so to speak, in the field of battle versus a non-combat role. And to me, I have no problem if you are somebody that identifies as trans that wants to be in the military. But when we're talking about merit and a certain standard and meeting the bar, if you're risking your life for your country, you need to know that your fellow combatants next to you, to your left, to your right, in front of you, behind you, in these, you know, heat of the moment battles are
life or death.
Yeah, life or death, are physically equipped to do the job and also have the right mental state of mind to be dealing with these situations. You know, you talk about discrimination, and this is the argument. Well, they're being discriminatory. I mean, if you want to talk about discriminatory, talk about all of these brilliant Asian kids that have been denied admission to some of these Ivy League elitist schools, these West Coast think tanks like Stanford. There's this story of this Asian boy in the news that's been in the news for quite some time now, and it's I think it's going to make its way to SCOTUS, where this kid got rejected from UC Berkeley, Stanford. I mean, he had a perfect SAT. He had a perfect high school GPA. He had every extracurricular known to man. And he was rejected because of ridiculous quotas that these schools are looking for. So what did Google do? Google went out and hired him before he even went to college, much less completed college. If Google hires you and gives you six figures to do something, they must think you're pretty bright, right? I understand they have a lot of money, but you want to talk about discrimination. That's discrimination. It's amazing to me the difference that the narrative of what the media will cover under the umbrella of discrimination. They'll constantly talk about transgender people in the military. They almost, and if you didn't watch Fox News, you wouldn't know the story of the Asian kid who couldn't get into any of these colleges, despite being one of arguably the smartest kids in all of America in high school. That, to me, is discrimination. Because based on merit, he meets the standards and requirements to get into every institution. But, like, if I'm Pete Hegseth or any of these other generals or any other entry-level combatant on the field of battle, I want to make sure that the gals next to me, they're ready to go. Right? I mean, yeah. You think China's going to say, oh, hold on, pause, time out. The transgender individual next to the straight black guy that fits all the requirements for the military is having an issue. You think they just call time out, they take a 30-second time out and go to a commercial break? No. This is life and death. You need to be ready to go. I also love the fact that, and I haven't seen a ton of this, I can't really quantify military, not military-wise, law enforcement-wise, what Trump has done as far as, you know, policing at the local level. That, that to me feels like more of a municipal by municipal approach, mayor by mayor, governor by governor. But I thought those numbers were very telling. In less than 4 months, America already feels exponentially safer under Donald Trump than they do Joe Biden. But as I said in the big take, Dawn, we have to get back to a point here where the people that are in charge of police or security empower and embolden those that are out there every day. You know, we sit here and we back the blue. I don't care if it's Temple University with the head of security there, Jennifer Griffin. I don't care if that's, you know, Bethel, the Philadelphia Police Department. I want to make sure that these officers every day, they go out there feeling like their bosses have their backs, right? Like, we feel like Stalker has our back in our line of work, in our profession. I can't imagine what it's like for something as serious as being an officer, knowing everybody's just waiting for you to possibly not follow protocol. Thank God for body cams with officers these days.
Yeah, but I will say this, and I know Jennifer Griffin has become, you know, the punching bag of everybody's, you know, blame about what's going on the Temple campus, which is in a high crime area in North Philadelphia.
Yep.
But look at what we have seen. We are at the lowest staff police department since the 1980s, according to the FBI data with the ratio, and they could hire for what they're budgeted for with the city's budget. We could hire today and should hire at least 1,300 officers, but they're budgeted for more than 1,500, 1,500. So there's no question the fact that we are way down in law enforcement in the city of Philadelphia, that affects each and every one of us. It affects the crime that's happening in this city. Think about, ask yourself when you drive in every day and we're weaving in through city streets, and I live in the city, so I'm weaving in through. I rarely, if ever, see a Philadelphia police officer or a police vehicle driving by.
That's a good point. I don't see any, and not that I live in the city, but, you know, I get it. I come down the Blue Route into the onto the Schuylkill, and then we get off here at Market. I don't see a ton of vehicles either.
Nope.
You're right. I see, you know, where I see more? I see more Whitpain Township vehicles. Granted, yes. Very small municipality. I get it. But yeah, just that visual presence and the deterrence. You're right.
So what they've had to do, if you think of 1,500 fewer officers, think about that and the impact of the defund the police movement, because first of all, you have cops. I mean, look at, I did a whole rant yesterday about the recent verdict in a case where we had some 30 officers who were fired upon. This was 2019. It was technically before the defund the police movement,
True. Before
the summer of 2020. But you just think about that, and I was really thinking about this verdict, which came down as a mixed verdict. There shouldn't have even been a trial, quite frankly. I mean, that the fact that this guy was able to he shot at more than 30 officers, but shot six of them. And think about all their injuries on their arms, head wounds, leg wounds. And the report was, well, none of them suffered life-threatening injuries. You know what? Why don't you just get shot in both of your arms, your hands, your legs? And what that also tells you, I think in court from now on, we should have where they hold up their bulletproof apparatus.
Mm-hmm.
How many bullets struck their chest, but thank God for the bulletproof?
Yeah.
So how many cops said that hot summer of 2019, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm putting in, you know, they're all, as soon as they can get retirement, they're putting in for it.
Of course.
Or they're putting in for jobs to all of the you should see the waiting list with all of the suburban cops, because Philadelphia cops are like, I'm out as soon as I can.
Oh, yeah.
And do you blame them?
Yeah. Well, and there was no defund the police movement in 1997, but my uncle Tim, my mom's brother, was a 27-year narcotics officer for the Easton Police Department. And he got sick of whatever the politics were and whatever was going on behind the scenes. As soon as he was eligible for his pension and retirement, he retired. And then he became a welfare fraud investigator for the state of Pennsylvania and didn't have to deal with, you know, the nonsense you deal with on a daily basis, shift by shift on the streets. He
couldn't
wait
to get out. That. You know, all the way up in the Easton.
Right.
You know what I mean? When in Philadelphia with the high crime and what we're seeing.
Yeah.
to be a law enforcement officer here, and then on top of it, to know that we need to hire 1,500 more officers.
Mm-hmm.
So now think about that. That means, yes, it means more overtime, more money, but it also means you're exhausted.
Oh, yeah. Yep. 855-839-1210. If you would like to jump in, news to kick off hour number two. And then before we get to Tony Bruno at 745, we will have all of the updates with Temple, 6ABC, the anti-Semitism, the Palestinian stuff, as well as the update on our Delco defecator. It's Kale and Company. Hour two is on the way on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.